Going to be in verse number 7. Go ahead and stand. Looking at another area in Job's life tonight. Job chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. Once you got your place, go ahead and stand. We've seen Satan as a deceiver. We saw the target there was our mind. The tactics were lies. His purpose is to make us ignorant of God's will. Our power to protect against that is the inspired word of God. Now we're looking at Satan as a destroyer, and we see that he wants to devour us, and his target is our body. We saw that last time, and we saw that there's two extremes. He wants us to beat our body or baby our body, but then we saw there is a balance right down the middle. We can't beat it, we can't baby it, but right down the middle is where we ought to be at. And we talked about that last week, and we said that there's two reasons why Satan likes to exploit our bodies, and that is, number one, we are created in the image of God. We're God's template, we saw, and we're God's tool or God's instrument. Tonight, another area, and that is his tactic is suffering. How many of y'all like to suffer? Nobody likes to suffer, amen. But guess what Satan uses sometimes? Suffering. But guess what? God uses it too. Amen. So Job chapter 2, let's look at verses 7, 8, 9. Let's read those all together. Here we go. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. By the way, when it comes to suffering, our response need to be like Job's in the very next verse. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Now, we shouldn't call me by that. Amen. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Father, help us to, Lord, gain another reminded truth from this passage tonight. And Lord, as we look at several different passage areas, help us to see Satan as a true destroyer. And Lord, he targets our body, but his tactics are he wants to make us suffer. But God, help us to suffer for the glory of God. Help us to uncover and discover some of the things that suffering can do to us at times. And Lord, I pray that we'll leave here refreshed in what we know Satan is trying to do. But Lord, rejuvenate, Lord, we can avoid these attacks and we can sidestep, if you would, some of the things that he's trying to do by being aware of them and calling on the power of God and the glory of God. We thank you again for tonight. And Lord, pray you bless the next moments that we have together to use to bring glory and honor unto thee. Help us to leave here with a gleaning from your word, Lord, and help it to encourage our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So looking at Satan's tactic, suffering, we saw the target is our body, but the tactic is suffering. I'm going to see three different areas here tonight, very, very quickly, hopefully. Suffering through maternal, personal, and paternal loss, if I can get those out, amen. Then suffering through physical loss, and then suffering through natural loss. And probably the last one's probably going to be the most difficult for most of us, amen. But looking at this, Satan's tactic is suffering. We already know that he doesn't like us, and we know that he's going to do anything to make us suffer. By the way, would it surprise you that Satan makes some people suffer with riches? He makes some people suffer with riches because he knows that'll take them so far out of the will of God. And so they have to suffer or put up with riches because he knows that's their undoing and that's what's going to take them away from God. And so some of you, like God was going to allow you to suffer by having Satan attack your body. Some are going to suffer with having riches, knowing it's going to take you away from what God wants you to do. Say, sign me up, preacher. I'll suffer that way. Amen. Suffering with riches, amen, that's me, I can handle it. No, you really can't, because if you could, God would have you have them, amen. But sometimes that's what Satan will do. He will cause the riches to blind you. Many, many people in Scripture we could come up with that have been blinded by riches, and they were suffering with the riches that they had. And they still weren't happy. But let's look at some things here. The first one is quite simple. Suffering through maternal, personal, and paternal loss or wealth and those things going along with it. Go back to chapter one for this one. Chapter number one, because sometimes the suffering is going to be through maternal and a personal and paternal loss. Now, I want you to think about these losses as well. And then have this thought process. If this happened to you, how would you be? If this happened to you. Notice verse 13. There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So we see some of the suffering here is going to be through material loss. That's material loss. Of course, personal loss when you look at the servants. But back in those days, servants for unrighteous people were counted as pretty much like the animals, unfortunately. Righteous people handled servants quite well. But unrighteous, they handled the servants like they were just pretty much an animal. And if they died, they died. So what? I got use out of them. His servants here are included. I'm sure Job wasn't that way. Notice again, verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and had burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. Who gets the blame when the fire of God has fallen? God gets the blame. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So again, he has some material and some personal loss going on in that verse as well. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels. By the way, camels were very lucrative back in those days. If you had camels, you had money. And have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So again, Job is suffering through material and personal loss with the servants, as well as the material possessions going to the wayside. How would you behave yourself when this happens to you? Several things that might happen to us. Several things. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment here. Come down to verse 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, not only is Job suffering with material and personal loss, now paternal loss, his children are gone. His wealth is gone. His children are gone. Say that happened to you on Monday. What's your Monday night going to be like? Pretty bad? We say, Andrea? Oh, she said, I'm dead. That happened to me Monday night. That's it. It's over. Suffering through losses like that, you know, think about this. Spiritually, you're going to suffer. What might come to our mind spiritually? Why is God doing this? What else might come to mind? Did I do something wrong? Which leads to what oftentimes? Guilt. What did I do? No, Job didn't. I'm just saying. It can happen to us. He straight out told his wife, what? Yeah, hey, I had good. I had some bad happen. Hey, so be it. But us, let's just be real. We're not Job, are we? I don't think we'll be as spiritual Monday night. Everything got wiped out, huh? We'll say it's not fair. Many thoughts may come up because he's suffering through this material loss, this personal loss, this paternal loss. But then we come over to chapter 2. He's going to suffer through some physical loss. Now his body is called into question. Come over to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. Notice verse number 7. And, of course, you know what happens. No, go up to verse 5. But put forth thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Man, we get bit by a mosquito, and we're ready to say something. A fly chases us, we're ready to say something. All these flies. God, why'd you make flies in the first place? I know I have my share. I see no earthly good for mosquitoes. None. Now, I'm sure there is an earthly good for them. I just don't know it. I see no earthly good for flies. Okay, let me stop that idea. They do clean up the garbage and whatnot like that. I just don't like them in my house. As long as they stay outside, we're good. Amen. Anybody see any earthly good for earthworms? My wife thought she touched the earthworm the other day. Bless her heart. They was digging in a bag of soil, potting soil. And she got, oh, what is that? Looked, there was a larvae of a caterpillar moving around. She liked to die. Her and Faith liked to die. And there's this big fat bug, caterpillar thing in there. Boy, and they liked to have a fit. Not was there just one. Not was it just two. I think it was three or four. This one was fat and juicy. Fat and juicy. And I threw them out in the back in the garden area there, and that was that night we had to freeze. And I came back the next day, and they were like this, frozen, shiny. I said, I wonder if they will live again. Amen. I don't think so. But when you look at this, what would we say? Verse number 7, of course, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, sole of his foot unto his crown. Now drop down to verse number 10. And he said unto her, And all this at the very end of verse number 10. Matter of fact, let me see here. Let's go back to, yeah, the end of that verse. And all this did Job not sin with his lips. Now his body is in question now. He's already suffered material loss, personal loss, paternal loss. Now physical loss, his body is in jeopardy. Body's in question. Material loss followed by paternal loss followed by physical loss can bring on three things at a minimum. Now I said can. I didn't say it would. It didn't for Job. But it can bring on three things as a minimum. Number one, it can bring on spiritual suffering. Go back to Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. When you and I face suffering of this magnitude, when it's material and when it's personal and it's paternal and it's physical, it can bring on spiritual suffering. In other words, you and I can become exasperated and defeated. And notice what it says in Psalm chapter 6 and verse number 3. Matter of fact, let's see. Go up to verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, what does David say? How long? By the way, did Job ask that in a roundabout way? In a roundabout way, he did. Thou, O Lord, how long? Come over to chapter 13, verse number 1. Chapter 13, number 1. And notice what David says again, a psalm of David. Spiritual suffering can bring on defeat and exasperation. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? What does he say? Forever? Forever is a long time, isn't it? Do you know that sometimes when you're going through something, it seems like forever? It seems like this is going to be the longest day, the longest night, the longest week, the longest period. It just seems like forever. Hey, folks, I'm still trying to recover from this Achilles injury. You know what I'm saying? How long, Lord? Forever? Am I going to have to put up with this? He probably said, if you stop complaining, I might do something. So I need to listen to my own preaching, amen? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? When is that? Daily. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? So David here is saying, how long is this going to happen? Spiritual suffering, we can become defeated and exasperated when you and I go through a time of material loss, personal loss, paternal loss, and physical loss. It can happen. My wife, I told y'all, she had three ectopic pregnancies over several years. And at the end of the day, we were ready to throw in a towel. That's it. That's it. We became spiritually defeated. God, I guess you just don't want us to have kids. So there. Guess we told God, didn't we? You don't want us to have kids, so just forget it. Just forget it. Forget we ever asked you anything. Folks, we got really indignant and thought we had a right to be so. Amen, preacher. Thought we had a right to be so. Hey, don't look at me, pies. Y'all have been to God with things before, too. And you were so righteously indignant. God, I just won't ask you for this anymore since you don't want to give it to me. Like, oh, we really showed God. Yeah, we really backed God in no corner. We got him. I don't think so. I don't think so. Guess who was bitter and miserable? We were bitter and we were miserable. Amen. Until God had to get us right. Amen. And so spiritual suffering can come from this. But not only spiritual suffering and we become exasperated and defeated. And by the way, if we become exasperated and defeated, do we really want to do business for God? Do we really want to do business with God? Do we really want to do business with God's people? We really don't. We really don't want to see anybody. Job was quite happy to be by himself till his friends came over there. Hey, Job, what's up? Oh, yeah, I'm scraping, trying to get this stuff up. You look so miserable, Job. Anybody tell you how you look today? My wife told me. She didn't tell you the whole truth. You look a whole lot worse, Job. I mean, really? You came all that distance to tell me that? Can you tell me something good? Well, if you confess your sins, you might get out of this mess. But I haven't sinned. Surely you must have done something, Job. God would not send you through this if you had not done something. I'm innocent. Check me out. Surely you did something. God never beat up on anybody as bad as he's beating up on you. I think you're the chiefest sinner and you're trying to hide it. Let's go through your closet and see what you got. Oh, I knew it. You got canned Campbell's soup in there. That's I know God, that God's people don't eat that. We eat, what is that other one called? People's Choice, whatever. Progressive, yeah, there you go. Progressive. God's people don't eat that stuff. That's why you're in sin. They called up all kind of stuff on Job. Job chapter 31. Let's hear something about Job's mental anguish that he went through. What am I talking about? Material loss followed by paternal loss, followed by physical loss, followed by personal loss can often bring us to a state of spiritual suffering. But if that doesn't work with the exasperation and defeat, we can come to mental suffering. Job chapter 31. And in Job chapter number 31, notice the times that Job uses a certain phrase, which is causing some mental anguish in his life. Job chapter 31. And let's go down here to verse number 5. And notice what he says before that into verse number 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. We've heard, I'm in Psalms. That sounded good too, amen. I like that. But I need to be in Job. All right. I was looking at that. I was like, man, that doesn't look like my notes. Job 31. All right. And which verse did I tell you? 5. Okay. Notice verse number 4. Doth not he see my ways? Who's the he? God. And count all my steps. Now notice the mental suffering that's going on here. Job, it seems like he's becoming disillusioned because he said all these times that he hasn't done these things. But notice what he says here in the verse number 5. If I have walked with vanity, or my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Come down to verse number 9. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. Come down to verse number 16. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fathers have not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, come down to verse number 21. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, come down to verse number 24. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness. Come down to verse 29. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. Come down to verse 33. If I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom. Come down to verse 39. If I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. What's going on here? He's got mental suffering. He said, if I've done this, if I've done that, if I've done this, if I've done this, show me where. Show me where. What am I saying? When we go through suffering, mentally it can get to us. Job has just extinguished a laundry list in his sickness. The man is sick. The man has lost everything, and he's got to defend himself against three supposedly friends. And he says, if I've done this, if I've done this, if I've done this, if I've done this, you show me where. What am I saying? Sometimes we go into mental anguish and mental suffering and mental grief, and we start questioning ourselves. If I did this, if I did that, have I done this? I didn't do this. Maybe you thought I did that, but I didn't do this. But he's going through something right now, and it's causing some mental anguish in his life, and he's disillusioned, if you would, thinking, maybe I have done these things, but I don't think I have. I haven't done any of this. And sometimes when we go through suffering, we begin to double check and question ourselves. Maybe I didn't do something right. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I didn't go there. Maybe I didn't say this. Maybe I didn't do that. Lord, maybe I didn't do this. Now, that can be a good thing. That can be a good thing. But we don't want to hang out there. You want to say, like David says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. You see something there, find it out, Lord. Show me where it's at, and then help me to get what's right. But you don't want to hang out there. Satan wants you to hang out in the land of doubt. How many of y'all remember Pilgrim's Progress, Giant Despair? He wants you to hang out in Giant Despair. So mental suffering can weigh on you. So when you have this type of suffering through material loss or personal loss or paternal loss or physical loss, the losses can bring you to a state of spiritual suffering where you are thinking, I'm defeated and exasperated. Lord, how long? It can bring up mental suffering where you're asking, if I've done this and I've done this, show me. Then you begin to say, maybe I have. But then there's another one here. There's another one. And this one is called faithful suffering. Faithful suffering. As a faithful Christian, sometimes we serve God. And we've gone as far as we can go. And physically, we just can't go anymore. And do you know that old devil will make you feel guilty about that? When you just can't go anymore physically. Now, granted, there's a time where you can say, Lord, I need your grace to carry me. And he'll say, my grace is sufficient for thee. But then again, don't forget about the balance we've got to have. I can beat my body, or I can baby my body, but I've got to have my balance. And sometimes when the faithful suffer, it's tough. It's tough to know the balance. It is. You know, I watched my mom and dad come here, and, you know, I'm looking at their age and wanting them to be in the services, of course, but at the same time realizing that they're not as young as they used to be. And they don't have it in the tank like they used to have it in the tank. And understanding, I don't want to force them to come, but I'll encourage them to come. But if they can't come, I'm not going to get upset. And I don't want them to feel guilty because their son's a preacher. They got to be in the house of God. Carmen's dad the same way. I don't want them to feel guilty if they don't come, but if they can come, I do want them to come. And there's a balance that the faithful suffering can have when you get sick like Job is sick, and Job can't do a whole lot in his state. He can't do a whole lot. And when you can't do a whole lot, you can sometimes feel guilty about your faithfulness. You can. And you can't let Satan take you there. Again, don't want to beat that body. Don't want to baby that body, but I got to balance that body. And if the mental suffering doesn't get to me, and if the spiritual suffering doesn't get to me, the faithful suffering may. I can't do anymore. And then someone says, well, yes, you can. Then I got to second guess myself. By the way, nobody lives in your body but you. Amen. Amen. Nobody knows what you feel. Nobody knows how bad it feels. I wish sometimes somebody could get in my body so I could trade places with them. Me and G2 need to trade so I can give me a younger body. Or Joshua's body. You got too much sugar in your body. How'd you go, G2? Amen. But nobody knows how you feel except you. I like what God, the Lord Jesus told Peter. Go over to Luke 22 real quick. Luke 22. And in Luke 22, again, what we're talking about here, faithful suffering. Sometimes when the faithful, their bodies get beat up, we feel guilty. And it's a natural thing. Luke 22 and verse 31. And when we're talking about Satan as a destroyer, his tactic is suffering. He targets our body. Notice what the Lord Jesus told Peter here in Luke 22 and verse 31. He says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may what? Sift you as wheat. But I have what? Prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art strengthen thy brethren. By the way, Peter did just that. And so another aspect of paternal, personal, and material and physical loss can come with the faithful suffering. And we don't think we can go any further. And we've got to run that by the Lord and say, Lord, you know me. Help me not be concerned about what others are thinking because I just can't. I can't. By the way, folks, if you and God got peace, praise God. That's all you need. Don't worry about what other people say. And then if it's not suffering through material and personal and paternal loss or physical loss, if it's not physical loss, this third one is going to affect us all sooner or later. Suffering through natural loss. What is natural loss? Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, suffering through natural loss. By the way, all of us are going to be affected by this sooner or later. Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, come down to verse number 27. This is a classic verse that we use dealing with how God doesn't forsake his own. And notice verse number 25. And David says this, I've been young and now am what? Old. I don't know how old David was at the time that he wrote this. But he did say, I've been young, and probably looking back in his shepherd days, beating up on Goliath. He says, but now I'm old. By the way, remember when he tried to go to battle towards the end of his time? And what happened? Huh? He almost died. And what did the people tell him? You need to stay home. He said, well, I was young. Wow. And the Bible says he went out to battle and somebody liked to kill him. And they said, look, son, you got to stay home. You got to stay home. Why? He had gotten old. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. When we're talking about Satan's tactic is suffering. If he doesn't get us with material loss and personal loss and paternal loss and physical loss, he may get us with natural loss. What is natural loss? Aging. Aging. Folks, arthritis is a real thing, and it will really affect you as you get older. And the more you beat up your body when you were younger, probably the quicker you're going to get it. Bursitis is a real foe, and you're going to get that in some place at some time, probably. I was talking to the doctor when I had my shoulder surgery, and he said, now you're going to get some arthritis in that. He said, because you had surgery, you're going to get it quicker. I said, quicker than what? He said, quicker than you would have normally gotten it. He said, because we went in there and cut on you. And I thought, well, you know, can I get away with it? He said, yeah, die young. It's not encouraging. It's not an option. Amen. So things like aging, arthritis, aches and pains, although God controls everything, there is one thing God does not control. And who knows what it is when it comes to suffering through material loss, personal loss, paternal loss, physical loss, and even natural loss. One thing about all of that, that God does not control. Anybody have an idea what that is? Joshua. How we respond to it. God controls everything. He controlled everything about Job except Job's response. That was the one thing he didn't control. Why? Because Satan said, hit him where it counts and watch his response. Take everything he's got and watch his response. Oh, that didn't work? Touch his bone and his flesh and watch his response. See, when it comes to material loss and personal loss and paternal loss and physical loss and even natural loss with aging and arthritis and aches and pains, it is a part of life, but it's how we respond to it. And the devil wants to play that card to hit you where it counts, to get you to respond in the wrong way. Amen. And he knows how to play the right cards. He's been in the card business for a long time. And so although God controls everything, we are going to experience natural loss. We will experience some physical loss at times. We may experience paternal loss. We may have personal loss. We may have material losses. These things may bring on this spiritual suffering and make us exasperated and defeated. It may bring on mental suffering where we become disillusioned and say, I wonder if I've done this. The natural loss will make us ache. We're going to get older. Our eyes are going to go out. We can't see. But guess what? It's how we respond to it. Because again, Satan's target is our body. His tactic is suffering. And he wants to see how you and I respond to suffering. And you and I, and now let me temper how I say this, we can't be overly concerned what others think. Now, we should be concerned, but we can't be overly concerned to our demise. We can't be. Why? My walk is between me and the Lord. And if my walk between me and the Lord is right, I will be concerned with others think to how it affects my Lord. And I will do what I can do, but I can't do what I know I can't do. And his grace is sufficient. And I can walk with my head held up high in the grace and the confidence of the Lord, knowing that I'm going to respond the way God wants me to respond. Because I can't worry about what everybody else thinks. Folks, if I worried about what everybody else thinks, I wouldn't use the King James Bible anymore. Amen, Aaron? Aaron said he went down there, they didn't have King James Bible. He's like, whoa, what is this? Amen. They said, well, the King James says this. Amen. I wouldn't have standards anymore if I cared what people think. I'd bring in the rock and roll band if I cared what people thought. You know, I'd come in here and have all these other things that everybody else has if I was concerned about what other people think. Well, you can bring in more crowds if you let the ladies hike up their skirts and, you know, people see their legs and you'll get more people. I'll get worldly people. I don't want people like that in church. Amen. Unless they're going to get right with God and get saved. Amen. Well, yeah, it won't be a church. It'll be a nightclub. Amen. I have all the hound dogs and all the wolves in here. Woo! Shree, shree. Up there trying to sing a song. Praise Jesus. Woo! Sing it, baby. Woo! That's got no place in the house of God. But that's what some people come to see, to hoot and holler at who's up on the stage by how they're dressed. I'm just saying, folks, when it comes to suffering through these type of things, our response is critical. Why? Satan's job is to exploit you, and his job is to exploit me. Psalm 71:18, David said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is come. He said, you know what? Even when I get old, help me to do what I need to do. Help me to do what I need to do. I may have this natural aging process, but there's still something I can do. I may have arthritis, but there's still something I can do. I may have bursitis, but there's still something I can do. I may have these headaches, but there's still something I can do. I may have this. I may have all these things with this natural loss, but there's something that I can still do. There's still something I can do. Turn over there and show you that, and then we're going to close. Psalm 71. How many of y'all remember Sam Davis when he did that Ecclesiastes area? Talking about the high stairs and how you're afraid of all that stuff. Amen. Part of the natural aging process. Amen. Psalm 71, verse number 18. And notice what the psalmist said in verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from where? My youth. And hitherto have I declared what? Thy wondrous works. And also when I am what? Old and what? Gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. He said, let me show somebody else how good you are and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? He said, I'm old, gray-headed. There's still something I can do. Hey, our reply, our response is critical. We already know Satan's going to target our bodies. We already know he's going to bring on some suffering. We already know that. But our reply is critical. It's going to be some personal losses, maybe some natural losses, some mental losses, a lot of different things that Satan may be allowed to do in your life, in my life. Hey, folks, we may go to work tomorrow. They may say we're fired. We may go home. Our house is burnt down. We may go home. The dog got out. We may go home. Somebody left the faucet on. The house is flooded. We may go home. The washer doesn't work. The dryer doesn't work. Dishwasher doesn't work. The microwave doesn't work. May get home and something terrible happened. In our neighborhood, the rash last week, a bunch of cars got stole. In my neighborhood. That is not supposed to happen. But I think it was like 3 or 4 cars got stole at the same time of the night, between 3 and 4 in the morning. That's not supposed to happen. But guess what? It might. It might. Doesn't matter. The neighborhood, crooks don't care. Amen. So, folks, as we look at Satan's tactics, and we detect him and try to defeat him, he's going to try to destroy our bodies. He's going to use suffering. And we know that response that we have is critical. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when you leave. I don't know what's happened when I leave. But I do know this. God is concerned about our response. But also, so is Satan. He's making wagers just like he did with Job. I bet I can get your children to curse you. Do this, do that, and see what they say. See how grateful they are. See how great thou art then. Folks, let's not give in. It's so easy and so tempting. Have our minds and our hearts like Job. Thou speakest as one of the foolish. Should we accept good and not accept evil? And all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Let's make that our testimony. Let's not sin with our lips in our response. Father, as we leave tonight, we know Satan is targeting our bodies. His tactics can be suffering. Lord, as he brings on the sufferings,